Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. My name is Cortland, and with me today is a guy that's as beautiful as the Mona Lisa, is Brandon. How you doing, Brandon?
Oh, gosh. I feel so special. Thank you, Cortland. I'm happy to be here. Wow.
I needed to bring you up, you know, in the beginning and in the morning, rest of the night for you. Like, I need to make you feel great before we dive into this episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Yes, I'm nice and refreshed to talk about horror.
Yeah. There were so many things I could have went with, and I just went with the most unobvious choice. So there we go. Oh my gosh, Brandon. It's been a couple of weeks since I talked with you one-on-one here. How you been doing? How's it going?
Oh, yeah, I'm all right. I'm okay.
Nice. Did you do anything awesome this week?
I saw a movie.
Get out. What movie did you go see?
Well, today, Cortland, actually, like a few hours ago, really.
Oh, you're fresh out the movies.
Yeah, fresh out the movies. I went to go see a movie by myself for the very first time in my life.
Oh, my God. I've never done that before.
I just said that, but it's something I've always like told myself, like I would be okay doing, like, yeah, I like going to see movies. I'll go see a movie by myself, but I've just never done it. Yeah. But I was like, you know what? I really want to see Dune 2, and I missed the first one in the theater. So I was like, I'm just going to go. Like no one else is interested, but I'm just going to go see it.
That's awesome. I was trying to think of the word for it, and I came up with lethargic, but I'm pretty sure it was cathartic. Did you have like a cathartic experience, Brandon?
Was it? Oh,
like
no, it was totally dreamed? Lethargic. Yeah. I had a recliner there, and I just leaned back, and I was like, I slept through half the movie.
Right. As we do as old men now, yeah?
You know what? I'm just going to say, like, I went into the theater, and I bought my ticket on the app. I bought it online. Fancy. Uh-huh. There was no one who was checking tickets at all. I just walked in and I was thinking, man, I could have just not bought a ticket.
I mean, the price of movie tickets these days.
It was $30 for this ticket, Cortland.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
You should have.
I would have bought it anyway, just because I would be like, the robots are watching me or something, but
oh, definitely.
Yeah, I was like, man, somebody better check this ticket so I can feel like I'm not getting away with something.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you know, Brandon, I mean, to this day and age, you were checked in the moment you walked into that parking lot. So they zapped you from the sky, filled your brain with radiation.
Okay.
Made sure you was Brandon. They were like, yep, he's got Dune at 7 p.m. We know who he is. Like, they, you know, that happened.
I feel so much better knowing that. Oh, yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. But what happened was, is like you actually went through like a walkway that scanned your entire body, but it also eliminated the memory of that happening. It's all very scientific stuff, Brandon. You wouldn't understand.
Okay. As long as somebody's checking.
Yeah. They got to make sure people bought a movie ticket for Dune. That's what happens when you get the app. You sign the contract, man.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't read the consumer fine print agreement, whatever.
Nobody does.
It's like, scroll to the end, and it's like gonna scan your whole body, and I'm like, yep.
You hit the thing, you put in the A4PQ, I'm not a robot, good to go.
Check all the boxes that contain bicycles.
So I would ask how Dune is, but first, Brandon, what did you have as a snack that cost you $80 additionally to the movie price?
I got these little worms, the chocolate worms that had caramel inside.
Chocolate caramel worms. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, they're good. They're like little wiggly wigglers.
Wiggly wigglers. Okay. Well, that's great, Brandon. Did you have popcorn too? Are you a popcorn kind of gal?
Only at the movies. If I eat popcorn not at the movies, I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
I know, right? What's this cardboard with butter flavoring in my
this
mouth?
This is disgusting. But when I'm watching a movie, it's like, this is great.
Yeah, I could eat this whole thing before the movie even starts, which is
like,
usually what happens.
This styrofoam is like a perfect container to carry butter into my mouth.
Yeah. I can imagine it now. You're at the counter. You're like, all right, I'll take one popcorn. And they're like, you want butter? And you just like raise your eyebrow at them. Are you joking? Are you fucking stupid? Of course I want butter. And you had that power too, Brandon, because you're alone. You don't have to, like, if you embarrass yourself, who cares? Like, you're never going
to
see these people again.
I'm not trying to
You don't
to
have your family
anyone.
With you. Yeah. Hey, fuck it. You're like, yeah, fuck, slap that butter in that shit, spin it around, give me some more. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, how was Dune, Brandon?
Well, I mean, you haven't seen any Dune movies at all, so like, nope. It's not going to mean much to you, but like, wow, does this sure pay off Dune Part 1?
Huh. Yeah, that goes way above my head, Brandon. Here's what I know about Dune. It's in the desert, there's some worms, and there's spices.
Well, shit, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, see, I don't even need to know anything about Dune.
You don't need to see it.
No. Realistically, the only thing I know about Dune is that my older brother was reading it one time, and I was like, damn, that's a big book. And I'm pretty sure that's the only reason he read it. So, Donald, if you're listening, yeah, I just blasted you, buddy.
Take that.
Yeah, take that, Don. Zendaya's in it, though. She's wonderful, wonderful actress. Love Zendaya.
Yeah, I've seen her in two things.
Were they Spider-Man?
Yeah.
She was great in Spider-Man.
So what did you do this last couple of weeks, Cortland?
Oh, man, Brandon. I've been sick, actually. I don't... My son...
so cool.
That's not that cool, because I work from home, so it's not like I was like, I can't work. I'm just sitting at my... I actually got, like... I don't want to say in trouble, but, like, I told my boss I wasn't feeling well, and he's like, then take some time off. And I'm like, but I have calls to make, you know? And he's like, dude, you got to take your time off. I'm like, no, I don't want to. Yeah, I haven't been feeling very well. My son went home from school on Monday. He was like, my stomach hurts. And I was like, okay. You're like, you never, ever, ever complain about being sick. This is fine. I'll go get you, whatever. And then it was like, not that I didn't believe him, but it was definitely real because it transferred over to me and Kim. So we've been like pretty rough the past couple of days. Like, I didn't feel well enough to even do my notes until yesterday for the episode, which is unusual for me. Like, usually I start my notes on like Wednesday. So yeah, still not feeling great. Serious. But I'm here. The people demand my voice to tell them about Tales from the Crypt. And quite frankly, I don't blame
nothing stops the podcast.
No. Not 6 a.m. on a Saturday. Not a terrible tummy. We're fine. We'll be fine. Oh, Brandon, we have a whole ass episode of Tales from the Crypt to talk about.
We do.
God. Do you want to get into this as ye so business?
Sure. Let's start.
All right. Well, I just want to say, like, what did you think about Season 5, Episode 2? Okay, because Season 5, Episode 1, pretty great. Season 5, Episode 2, as ye so. What's the Brandon update about this one? What do you think?
So the verdict is, you know, it's not as good as episode one of this season.
No, I agree. It's not.
So just based on these two episodes, this is like a massive downgrade. But, you know, this episode's not bad. It's just kind of, it feels like just a lot of the kind of stuff we've seen before. Like there's nothing outstanding or remarkable about it.
No, I thought the same thing. It was just kind of like, it was just kind of going, you know, it has its little theme of like being set in a church, which is why I think it's called As Ye So. I don't know if that's a church thing or whatever. Yeah,
that sounds biblical.
Sure. Yeah. It's got that little church thing, but then you got the, like, it's all about a man who isn't getting laid. So he automatically assumes his wife is cheating on him. And that's kind of like the main plot of the episode. And it's just kind of like, I don't know, I feel like I've seen it before, but there are some, I mean, there's a good twist at the end, I will say. I don't know if that's a spoiler or whatever, but I don't know. The setting is a little different, you know, the acting of it is pretty good. It's just not great. Not a great episode.
Not great, not terrible. This one lands in the middle.
Yeah. Want to talk about it, Brandon? Because I got notes on
it. Sure.
Granted, my notes. For. My notes aren't very long. Like I said, I'm not feeling great. So it was just kind of like, and then he gets angry and blah, blah. Like, my notes are kind of short for this episode. So it probably won't even take that long. But our episode starts up. And right away, we got our best buddy, Brandon, as Crypt Keeper. And he's got his podcasting setup going. He's got that equipment all out in the open.
Oh, nice.
I love it when he podcasts.
Yeah, maybe we can get him as a guest on here.
Dude, I bet you, I don't know how expensive it would be. I'd be like, John Kassir, can you just, like, 6 a.m. on a Saturday, Eastern Standard Time, you're probably not even on the East Coast, just, like, shit talk your role with us for a moment. I don't think he'd do it, quite frankly. It'd probably be expensive.
For enough money, maybe.
Maybe we could get him on a cameo, but I don't know. That's probably a lot, too. He's not actually podcasting on the brain. He's got a little radio talk show going on.
He's doing a little radio. And I feel like this is kind of a weird intro for this show, for this episode.
Yeah.
This is more of a new arrival kind of vibe.
Yeah, you're right. Frequently, Crypt Keeper has nothing to do with the episode, and this one is no exception. He's smoking a little cigarette, and it looks like he's taking a call. And the dude on the other end of the line says that Dr. Viscus has just got to help him. It's their son, his eating habits. And Crypty is, like, really into this call, Brandon. He's like, you said you was cannibals, right? And the guy tells him, yeah, and that's why this vegetarianism thing scares me. And Crypty tells the dude not to worry. For one thing, vegetarians are probably much better for him. I like to stalk one myself from time to time. And he giggles because it's hilarious. Then he gives it advice, which is to tell him to fiend himself. The little nipper will never learn to maggot on his own if you're too busy protecting him. And that's weird advice, Mr. Cryptkeeper. Gotta say.
Yeah. It's a lot of puns in a short amount of time.
Yeah. And with that, Crypty looks up at us and he says, okay, next caller is Leo. And he thinks his wife is cheating on him. And he opens up his book saying, let's hope for her sake he doesn't catch her in the hack. In the hacked, whatever. He calls this sickening psychodrama as ye so. And we take a look at the picture for this one, and it's something, Brandon. In the foreground, we have a naked woman, and she is smooching the lips of a preacher or something, a dude who's dressed like all in black, and behind them is a stained glass window, as well as a gigantic head of an old man who looks quite angry.
Yeah, it's not the best cover.
Sure, no, it's not. It's like 70% old angry man.
Yeah, it kind of offsets the naked woman aspect of it.
Yeah, you're like, well, there's kind of a naked woman, which, like, you can't see anything, but, like, you can tell I'm naked there. But it's all like, whoa, I have to look at this old angry man face.
Like, yeah, then it's just, like, 90% Hector Elizondo.
We fade into the episode, and we're looking at, like, some home video of a woman, and we hear the voice of Adam West, of all people, explaining here she is existing in the produce market. Another voice tells Adam West that he has eyes, for goodness sakes, and how do you know she didn't go out back for a quickie? Adam West assures the main character, Leo, that he had a man in the back and another one inside the store, and Leo thinks that that's ridiculous and that he only had three dudes watching this one woman, and Adam West tells him, well, three dudes is all the FBI would need, too. Then we look at the video, and Adam West tells us she's over at the butcher counter. Then we pop over to her at the church, and Adam says that she goes there on the daily. Leo complains that he's paying this guy 30 grand for these stupid home videos of his wife going in and out of stores and the church.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess hiring a private eye is kind of an expensive thing these days. Well, not these days, you know, back in 1993.
But, like, that much just to follow someone around and take some pictures?
Brandon, I don't know if you noticed or not, but that's home movies, okay? You gotta pay extra okay. for home movies.
Yeah. All right, that's a little bit extra, but 30,000?
Yeah.
I would do that for $25,000. If anybody out there is looking.
But then you don't have Adam West.
I will get VHS videos of anything.
You want butterflies? I'll get you. I got butterflies. So we pop over to our main character, Leo, who's kind of this oldish man who's kind of bald.
Cortland.
Yeah?
This is our main character, Leo, but he's most known by the name Mr. Burns.
Oh, is this the voice of Mr. Burns?
No. His name is Leo Burns.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
And I like, can't take him seriously because you hear the name Mr. Burns and come on.
Yeah, you think, excellent. I love Mr. Burns. He's one of my favorite Simpsons characters, not going to lie.
Yeah, he's great.
I will say, though, Brandon, he looks suspiciously like that angry face from the cover of this episode.
I wonder if that's a coincidence.
I doubt it. Adam West tells Leo that he knew this job was going to be expensive, and we also might come up with nothing, especially if his wife is up to nothing. He freezes the video on Leo's wife, calling her a regular choir girl. Leo don't believe this, since he just knows that his wife, Bridget, is just up to some shit. He can totally feel it on her skin when he touches her, in her eyes when she looks at him. Leo stands up and gets real close to the little TV on the wall, saying that she's tearing him apart, Lisa! When Adam West snaps that TV off, Leo swivels around to look at him and asks, you think I'm some kind of asshole, don't you? Adam West here, he says, yeah, we do. We think you're an asshole. Leo, when you marry a woman that's like 20, 25 years younger than you, and Leo snaps, it's 24 years. Adam's all, okay, whatever. She's pretty, and it can get to you emotionally and affect your judgment. Leo asks, whoa, whoa, whoa. You think I need a shrink? This is 1993. That's blasphemy. Adam tells him, no, I think a marriage counselor might be a good investment.
Encounter group, a health farm, spa.
Really anything. And Leo laughs at him, saying that he doesn't want any of that new age marriage counseling mumbo jumbo or his surveillance neither. Leo exclaims he's going to find somebody to take this shit seriously and get the dirt on his wife that he needs. Adam's all, alright, whatevs. I'm sure there's a ton of people out there that should be happy to take your money for you. Leo slams the door, and that's that, Brandon. We don't get to see Adam West at all on this episode anymore. Well, his cameo is kind of
surprising. I was like, oh, this is the Adam West episode, and then like 30 seconds later, he's just done.
Yeah, no more Adam West. It's a shame.
Yeah, he had to go be in Goosebumps.
Yeah, he's like, I have to go fit into my Gallant Gazelle costume or whatever to be in the amazing episode of Goosebumps. I don't do an Adam West very well. Okay, so just gonna say that.
No, that was perfect.
You thought I was Adam, didn't you? I'm not.
Yeah, I was like, whoa. He wasn't in this episode very much, but he's in our podcast.
Leo slams the door, and we pop over to another private investigator who's looking at pictures of Bridget in a wedding dress, and he calls her lovely, because she is. He sets that shit down and turns it over to Leo, telling him, she's a catch for any man. I can only sympathize with your problems, though. I'd, of course, give your case the highest priority. Leo just stares at him, saying, you know, those dudes were supposed to be the best in town. How do I know you're any good? And the camera starts panning us over to reveal who's talking as the guy tells him,
you wouldn't go to an optometrist to get your kidney stones removed, would you?
And Leo doesn't understand any of this, asking, what kidney stones? I have kidney stones? I'm like, dude, Leo, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Keep up, buddy.
The man smiles, saying that he was just making a point. You went to a man whose expertise is in insurance fraud and embezzling. For that, I'd go with that guy too, but infidelity is another kettle of fish. Did you know that, Brandon? Who says kettle of fish? Nobody does. Nobody says that.
Australians.
Nuh-uh. They do not, do they?
Oh, yeah.
All the time? Oh, yeah. Brandon. So is that like, do you notice things like that when people are like talking about weird shit and you're like, only in Australia?
Yep.
Do you have any other examples besides like, you know, mate and Barbie and all that stuff?
Oh, not off the top of my head, but when it comes up, I'm like, yep.
When I said kettle of fish, you had like some flashbacks of everybody ever saying it to you, didn't you?
Yes, some horror flashbacks.
So this guy, he's all like, he was insensitive to your suspicions, right? And Leo's all, yeah.
Made me feel like a fucking asshole.
The man he's talking to, his name is Gigi DeVoe, Brandon.
Oh, yeah. Gigi. He's a smooth customer.
He says, in his experience, suspicions about a man or a woman's other half are invariably correct. People betray. A mouth that hesitates to answer a question. A shoulder that cringes at a touch. Eyes that have to look away. Leo just scooches in closer because what he's saying is kind of hitting home, you know? He's got him experience these things, I guess. And Gigi goes on saying that it's like things you can't even put into words, but nevertheless are a smoke signal that something is going on. And where there's smoke. And Leo bangs on the table saying,
there's fucking fire.
And Gigi agrees.
I like the delivery of that line.
It reminded me a touch of two of me.
There's fucking fire.
I'll never get over when Joe Pesci was like, two of me. My favorite line of the whole series so far. Leo stands up and walks over to the window, shaking his head as Gigi asks him when he first suspected his wife was having an affair. Leo takes a moment to answer that and says, a couple of months ago when she stopped. And Gigi prods further, you mean stop having sex? Because Brandon, this whole episode is about a man that's not getting any, and he just automatically assumes his wife is cheating.
Mm-hmm.
That is peak like writing in the 1993s time period here, Brandon. Like this, everybody will the understand 1993s. This one. Yeah, I'm 93s.
Yeah, we've seen this story before.
Leo's all, Christ. It's not like it's something you can talk about. It's 1993, for goodness sakes. Gigi stands up asking, now tell me, Leo, does your wife wear easy access clothing? And Leo turns over and he's all like, what? What do you talk about? And Gigi continues his line of questioning, asking if she wears full or pleated skirts or stretch pants. And as somebody that's currently in stretch pants, I was like, where are you going with this, buddy? Does she prefer garter belts to pantyhose? Leo doesn't know what his wife enjoys wearing, and Gigi's all, but wait, aren't you in the dry cleaning business? and you don't know anything about your wife's clothing? Leo tells him, well, I mean, I know about clothing, but I don't know about what she's wearing. And I don't really know why they tell us that Leo is in the dry cleaning business. Maybe it's to explain how he got money, I guess. There's money in dry cleaning. Because we never see this man work.
No, not at all.
Leo does what Leo wants to do when Leo wants to do it, which is not working. Okay, he's living the life. He's rich and apparently unemployed. I don't know. He wants to know what Gigi's getting on about. And Gigi walks away telling him he should know more about her clothes. And I don't know yet if your wife is having an affair or not. But we do have a saying in this business.
If you're not getting it, someone else is.
So, shall we get to work? With that meeting complete, we pop over to Leo in his home, and he's checking out his wife's panty drawer. He's got to know if there's some easy access or whatever clothing in here, you know? From behind him walks his wife, Bridget, who's all, what's all the hubba in here? Leo gets startled, asking, what's this? To the underwear that he has in his hands. And Bridget's all, that's lingerie? Leo tells her he knows that, but what is this? And he tries to, like, fasten it closed. And Bridget asks, what do you think it is? And Leo's all, I want you to tell me that. So she grabs it, saying,
they're going to the loo.
Because Bridget is Irish, Brandon.
Yeah. Which comes up a few times, but, like, for no real reason.
Well, I have a theory for it, which they kind of talk about a little bit in the episode. But I'll talk about it in a second here. She asks, anything else you want to know about me things? Leo's all, really? That's what it's yeah. for? Bridget says, yeah, duh, a stupid, silly question. Then she complains that Leo made such a big mess in her underwear drawer, right? And Leo thinks now is the perfect time to start smooching on her and have some sexy time. But Bridget tells him, no way, Jose. You know we're a week away from dirty times. And Leo says that he don't want to wait a week. And he goes in for a hug, but she tells him no, like six more times, and then walks away. Over with Gigi, Brandon. We're back in Gigi's office, and Leo walks on in, and he's asking if they have anything on her yet, because it's been like a whole week already, and Gigi here is just trying to enjoy some fucking takeout Chinese food, which is the most cliched thing, Brandon, when like somebody's eating like noodles out of a box and stuff. I don't know. This man, though, I just have to say, he smacks his lips so fucking much while he's eating this Chinese food. It was fucking disgusting.
It's delicious.
I've never
when
had takeout food
delicious Chinese food, you just smack your lips, man.
Look, I love Chinese
can't
food.
Can't help it. It's lip-smackingly delicious.
Okay. I've never had any Chinese food out of a paper, like, takeout box before in my life.
No, you haven't lived, my friend.
Well, shut up, Brandon. You don't even have Chinese food over in Australia.
Oh, that's true. There's no Chinese culture in Australia at all.
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic, but I don't think you are.
Maybe. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not.
I don't think your family's ever had any noodles in a paper bag or paper box before, have they?
They don't even know what noodles are. I haven't told them.
What other secrets are you keeping from them, Brandon? Do I need to hire somebody?
They don't even know I record a podcast. I just lock myself in this room and tell them to leave me alone.
For like 2 hours a week. You know, I surprisingly, Brandon, I'm very surprised that we don't get interrupted more at your house, honestly.
Well, it helps that it's late.
Yeah, it's true. But like, we were up until like 4 o'clock in the fucking morning when we were their age.
It's way different with them. I don't know. They don't stay up.
That's weird, but staying up is like the best time. You get to watch stupid music videos and play dumb games. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, I was like watching infomercials and Upright Citizens Brigade like 3 a.m. every day.
Yeah, it was the best times. Anyway, Brandon, he slaps down a folder with some pictures in it because I guess a week is enough time to like stalk somebody.
Hey, when you're being paid $30,000, a week should be enough time for anything.
Yeah, well, we didn't know if he's paying him $30,000. It was Adam West that was taking all the money, which
okay.
Leo just has laying around. He's like, yeah, 30K, whatever. It's fine. I wipe my ass with that, you know?
All right. Well, maybe this guy's being paid like $100. I don't know.
Leo takes one look at the folder here. He's complaining about this shit because the pictures that he's got here are the same crap that fucking Adam West gave him. Like, ugh, you know? He's all like, Adam West could have done this.
Yeah, he's like, man, I paid Adam West $30,000. I paid you $100 and got the same pictures.
Ridiculous. But Gigi's all, oh, is it the same?
I just cannot get over the $30,000 thing.
No, that's expensive, Brandon. I can't imagine. Like, that's, I mean, you could buy so many things with $30,000. That's like a car.
You could,
that's like
you a could buy car. A new wife and not have to worry about this cheating one.
He tells him to take a look again at the pictures. So Leo does, and one is of Bridget with like sunglasses on, and she's got this little head wrap on or whatever. And the other is of her looking up and smiling. And Leo asks, what the hell is this shit? She's just happier coming out than going in? Big deal.
She's been spiritually uplifted.
And Gigi hands Leo another picture, and it's like some preacher dude. And Leo asks, who's this? This isn't my wife. And Gigi tells him that it's his it's his man, Brandon.
It's funny that, Leo's the one in this situation who's like, huh, what? She's just going into church and she's just being happy. When, like, he's the one who's paranoid enough to come to these detectives anyway.
I agree. It's really stupid. Like, that is the most proof that you've had so far. Like, you can't use your fucking brain to be like, uh-oh, she's happier when she leaves. Like, it's dumb. Leo's an idiot. Yeah, but we'll find out more about Leo's idiotism later, right? So Gigi's like, this dude right here is the man that you're looking for. And Leo asks, what, you think she's banging a priest? You stupid? Gigi says he's Father John Sajak. He's a radical that got kicked out of his last church. And he tells Leo to take another look at the pictures. And this time, they're a little bit different, Brandon. We've got Bridget with like this full-on grin, and the priest is now like looking her way through the pictures because there are two different pictures here. He's got this smug smile on. And then we look back at Bridget's picture, and she's like crying out in happiness. So basically, we're just seeing that Leo's crazy.
Yeah, so this is kind of a thing that we see all throughout this episode, is him kind of hallucinating these things to be happening that aren't really happening.
Yeah. And I feel like we might have seen something similar to this in the past, but like, I don't know, it's done pretty well in this one. We get a lot of like Leo hallucinating. Like, Leo, something fucked up with Leo, okay? He needs to be on some medicine.
Leo is, he's a little bit gone.
Yeah, you see, like, you know how these days everybody that grew up, like all the boomers and stuff are like, back in my day, nobody had ADHD and all this stuff. Everybody was just in school. Like, here's a prime example of people that were crazy or whatever that you just didn't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that too insensitive? That might be too insensitive of me to say, right?
I don't know.
I just called people ADHD crazy.
Yeah. I think he's crazy with ADHD.
Yeah, he's got that ADHD in his
brain. He's got that ADHD disease.
Ugh, I hate ADHD and everybody that has it. Do you ever just wonder, like, I wonder if I have ADHD?
Oh, I think I have everything.
Yeah, you're a
total hypochondriac.
You're a hot mess express, as the kids say these days, Brandon.
Only you say that.
I do not. No, it's not. Look, it's because you're in Australia. They don't probably don't say it there because they're saying everything's like, you know, the loo or whatever Bridget said.
Yes, Ireland, Australia, same thing.
Yeah, yours is all like, oh, it's a bucket of fish or whatever. And everybody over here, hot mess express. So there you go. You missed a lot since you've been away from the States, Brandon. Leo cannot believe this shit and says just that, Brandon. He sits down and Gigi smacks his lip a whole bunch eating his fucking gross food. And he tells him to go check it out for himself and talk to the priest. So Leo, he does that, Brandon. He goes in there and he fucking confronts the priest because that's a good idea, right? That's a great idea.
It's an idea.
He goes into the church and asks some random guy checking out canned goods where the father is. Well, it's organ practicing time and Father John Sajak is having an absolute jam session on it. Oh my God, Brandon. Leo walks up the stairs and he looks over to see John shredding on the organ.
He's killing it.
His fingers are on goddamn fire with this thing.
Yeah, that shit is having a fire. He is popping off.
Ugh, I wish I could play the piano because like I would do that. I'd have my own personal jam sessions where I'm just in my room enjoying my own self, playing my goddamn music. That's what John Sajak is doing right now. He's having a good time.
Good.
He
for
calls
him.
Out for him and John Sajak. I know, right?
I have to imagine up, being a priest is like a boring ass life. So if you can spend some time and just fucking shred, that's awesome.
He is. Oh, he's like a virtuoso with his organ here. So he calls out to John, and John smiles at him and then continues to fucking rock. He's like, nothing interrupted my flow. But he stops. He finishes up. He's like, da-da-da. He's done, right? And he says, oh, sometimes when I struggle with a sermon, I find playing some music helps me out. Anyway, what can I do for you? And Leo tells him, oh, I just moved into the neighborhood, and I thought I'd check this shit out for me and my wife and my kids. And the two shake hands and introduce themselves. And John talks a little bit about having helped people out in an unstable relationship and stuff for some reason. I don't know why he's going into this all of a sudden. It's just to, like, cast shade and be like, oh, maybe he is a, you know, an affair or is it a thing? Eh, whatever. He goes into detail about, like, abortion and divorce and all this, like, new age stuff.
And yeah, Leo says, he's a very progressive priest.
He really is, yeah. Well, he was so progressive, he allegedly got kicked out of his last church. They were like, get out of here, John Zajac. Go shred on a fucking organ somewhere else. Hey there, everybody. Cortland here, your good buddy and your private eye. Thank you so much for joining us today, whether this is your first episode or you've listened to everything we've got. We're so thankful for you spending some time with us. If you're looking to support our show and get access to a ton of bonus content, check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/privateisland. We post new content multiple times a week, so there's always something new to enjoy. I'd like to take a moment to thank our current patrons, the Beths, Venice Witch, Tristan, Redemption, Lyle, Eddie, Ray, Rad Magical, Faith, and Shane, the Goths, Stephen, Matt, Aaron, Brittany, Sid, and Corey, the citizens of Carlsville, Sarah, Mr. Normal, Matt, Keith, Christy, Angela, and Meredith, and your boys and girls, Kathy, Farron, Bryce, and Brian. Thank you for your support, everybody. Brandon and I truly appreciate it. You can follow us on social media for all of the latest posts. We're at Up All Night Podcast on Instagram, at UAN Pod on Twitter, at Up All Night HA Podcast on YouTube, and at Private Island Presents on TikTok. You can hang out with me live on Twitch at twitch.tv/PrivateIslandC. I play an assortment of different games like Stardew Valley and Dead by Daylight. Everything about the stream is horror anthology themed, with voice clips and videos that you can play from Are You Afraid of the Dark, Goosebumps, and Tales from the Crypt. I'd like to take a moment to thank the Benevolent Badger for their work on the music for our show, aside from this theme dating start from Undertale, composed by Toby Fox. I'd also like to thank Brandon for his work on the artwork. Thank you so much for listening in. For now, I'm going to let you get back to the episode, and I will talk with you next week. Thanks again, everybody. Bye. Leo says, but ain't that stuff immoral? What do you think? And John sighs, saying that his opinion is that the church should address these kinds of newfangled relationships and values, or else it ceases to be any value to the people. Now, it's his goal to reestablish the Catholic Church as being a living and throbbing entity bursting with life. He wants to embrace everybody with all their contemporary problems and let them know it's okay to be you. Now, if you'll excuse him, he's got to go do a confessional. And he said a lot more than that. I've condensed some things, but basically he's got like an open mind. That's what it is.
Yeah, get him.
Perfect person to be okay with having an affair with a married woman. I guess. Maybe. I don't know. Leo stops him, asking what he's wearing, and John tells him that it's a cassock, I guess, and he wears it instead of a suit, because it's more comfortable. And also, sometimes it comes in handy. Wink, wink.
What does that mean?
I don't fucking know, Brandon.
I was hoping you'd know, because when I was watching this, I was like, what is that implying?
Here's my guess. Okay, we just had that scene not too long ago about, like, easy to take off clothing, so I think it's kind of a nod towards that. Just, like, furthering his suspicions a touch. But okay. It also seems like that it'd be really hard to take that off, like, in a very quick manner. I don't know. Maybe you can lift it up or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I think that's all just to, like, reinforce the, you know, as Bridget wearing easy-to-remove clothes.
Gotcha.
We stay with Leo, and he looks over the balcony to see that his wife, Bridget, is there, and John is ready for her. They exchange some pleasantries as Leo runs down the stairs to take a closer look. We see him just staring at the confessional booth as we hear Bridget say that she's had some impure thoughts.
That I am a wicked whore, worthless in God's eyes.
Yikes.
Yeah, right? That's quite the confession. The screen is all shaky a bit, and we're not really sure if this is, like, real or not, but, like, it's definitely not real. Leo's just crazy. But we see into the confessional, and John puts his hands on her, saying that it's gonna be okay. Then he goes, like, under her clothes and stuff and starts smooching on Bridget, talking all sorts of church jargon, I guess. I don't really understand any of it.
Yeah, it's all just nonsense that he's making up.
Yeah, Leo doesn't know anything about the church, so he's just, like, mind is, like, you know, filling in, like, you know, sermon this and page 44 that of the whatever. Finally, Leo snaps away and runs out of the church, but he stops. He looks up at the church yelling,
I got your living potent organ, you son of a bitch!
And it's like, okay, Leo, like, you're in public, dude. But Brandon, enough of this church things. We're back over in Gigi's office, where Leo settles down a little glass of whiskey or something, and Gigi tells him to face the facts and his worst suspicions are true. This Gigi guy, he just feeds into it, man.
Yeah, he's, well, I mean, we'll see later on, but he's,
sure,
he's something.
He says he's a piece of. Leo cries a little, saying that he doesn't want it to be over because he still loves Bridget. And Gigi's all, well, I'm not a marriage counselor or nothing, but I think it's kind of over between you two. Under the present circumstances, anyway. Maybe you should go see a lawyer. Leo yells that he ain't seeing no lawyer, and he can still win her back if not for that goddamn priest. Gigi asks him why he came to his office then. Like, what does he really want? Leo asks, what do you mean, Gigi? Gigi scooches in closer, telling him to just say it, and he wants the priest dead. Leo stands up, saying, yeah, I do want that priest dead. I want him shot in his dick and then in his ear. Also, I want Bridget to be there when it happens.
Yikes.
Yeah. Okay, we're going straight to murder here. Gigi tells him that's a real tall order, and Leo backs down. So Gigi's all, well, I mean, it's not that tall. Like, if you had the money, it'd be a fraction of what the divorce would cost. Let's say 50K for the people and, I don't know, another 50K for me. All in advance, and to be left in a place of my choosing. Leo complains about it being in advance, and what does he take him for? A fucking moron? But Gigi puts his hands on Leo's shoulders, saying that he'll overlook the implications of this because Leo's been under such stress. Leo tells him, okay, well, I forget I mentioned it. And they agree. And I don't really get the part where he's like, hey, stop talking to me like that. I'll forget that part of it. Like, dude, you just like agreed to murder her, dude. What's going on?
So, man, 50,000 plus 50,000 now?
Uh-huh. Yeah. See, Leo prints money, Brandon, okay?
Apparently, we need to get into
the dry cleaning biz.
He does nothing, yeah. But he's just dripping money all the time. He can just drop tens of thousands of dollars on absolutely nothing, and it doesn't even matter.
We haven't even seen him go to any of his dry... Like, I assume he's, like, the CEO or something of all these dry cleaners. We don't even see him go to any of them. There's no... Like, it is a faint whisper of him having a job. Just does whatever he wants whenever he wants. He's like... Honey, I'm going to Gigi's. I don't know. Fucking weird. So anyway, like, they've agreed, like, you know, I didn't just have a child outburst here. And he tells Leo, like, once he leaves here, he wants him to, like, forget about this place, forget he ever saw me or this place or whatever. And he wants him to just go about his business and be normal, see his people, make a lot of noise, you know, forget all about this. Leo stands up saying, yeah, but, like, when is it going to happen? And Gigi's all, well, I don't know, maybe, like, a week or a month. Who knows? But it'll be handled. The less you know, the better. Now, what do you say? And Leo picks up a knife and stabs it into the table, saying,
in his ear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leo.
In his ear.
We pop over to Leo opening up a locker at an airport or something. He slides a bag inside, and he locks it up. And he nods. And then he takes out an envelope. He seals, like, he puts the key into it. He seals that shit. And he puts it in the teeniest, tiniest little post office box I have ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. Over at the church, the bell rings, and we pan down to see Leo in his Cadillac. Because Cadillac must have paid to be in this episode. Like, why else would they do that?
I don't know. Why would they do that?
Leo says to himself that he wouldn't want to miss this for the whole world. And he pulls out a cheeseburger or something, and he starts chowing down on that, saying, damn, this shit's good!
Yeah, he was talking about the cheeseburger. He wouldn't want to miss that cheeseburger.
I mean, come on, it's a cheeseburger.
It looked good. I wouldn't miss that cheeseburger for the whole world.
We look over at a sign that's really difficult to read because there's just like so much traffic like zooming by. But it says this Sunday, Father Sajak is going to speak on It's Okay to Be You at 10 a.m. We cut over to Bridget at night getting into bed with Leo because, like, I guess Leo just goes to the church every fucking day to be like, is this the day somebody's going to die? I don't know. I got to have a cheeseburger about this one.
Yeah,
I don't know. He's this man.
He's not doing anything else.
No, he's not. So Bridget, she's getting into bed with Leo. She takes off her shoes with a sigh, and it kind of wakes Leo up a little bit. She goes to lay down, and she turns over, and she's like, I'm sorry, Leo.
Leo, I feel like you're angry at me. I really don't know why.
And Leo tells her it's nothing, and then goes over for a smooch. But Bridget tells him that she's tired, and Leo's mind snaps over to her being, like, intimate with John. Like, it's quick flashes to it. And that's enough of that now, because I guess we're looking at the church sign again. So, like, these scenes are just really quick. And it says this Sunday, Father Sajak is going to speak to the church about living potent organs and such. So that's cool. Leo's just here. He's just chilling in his car again because he literally has nothing better to do with his life or time. And we look at the sign again, and it's changed. And now it says Father Sajak is speaking on "If you ain't getting it, someone else is," which sounds like a boring sermon, honestly.
It does. But if he gets on that organ and starts...
Oh, he could be crushing it on that organ.
Yeah. If he just starts jamming on them keys, then I'd go anyway.
I'd go there too, dude. Like, I'd be like, get back on that fucking organ, dude. Give me a fucking concert.
Yeah, don't talk about cheating spouses or whatever. Like, just get back to Andrew.
Exactly. Leo's crazy, though, Brandon, because a couple of cars roll by and it changes to easing the flack of a stressed out flock, which, like the sign, that's what he's going to talk about, which also sounds pretty boring. Not going to lie.
Yeah, took me a second to be like, is that fake, too?
You know, it kind of does sound fake, doesn't it?
It does.
Leo sighs and then looks in his rearview mirror because he can hear somebody making some noise, and it's Bridget and John smooching in the back seat. Oh, but wait, no, it's not. It's nothing. It's just Leo being cray-cray. We cut over to Bridget getting ready for a shower or something, and she looks up and she sees in the mirror that Leo is there. He walks up to Bridget and grabs her, calling out her name a few times like a fucking lunatic, and he has visions of her smooching John, so he leaves yelling that he can't take this anymore. And that was the scene, okay?
That was the whole scene.
Yeah. I don't know why they left that one in. I feel like that could have been dropped on the editing room floor, but nope. With Leo. Okay. A lot of quick cuts here. With Leo, he stomps his way over to Gigi's office, but everything is gone. All the papers and the books and everything here is just gone, but there is still a knife that is just like jutting out of this table. So he runs over to the airport and he checks out that locker, but it's empty, and he yells, "Shit!" and he leaves. So I guess at this moment he's thinking he just got taken advantage of for $50,000. No, $100,000.
I mean, he did, right?
I mean, that's what this episode's trying to tell is, like, he gave that money to Gigi and Gigi was just like, "I'm out." Like,
yeah,
take all the papers, we're gone, this never happened kind of thing.
He's a grifter.
Yep, exactly.
But, like, man, that's a lot of work to go through for $50,000. Like, now I'm like, $50,000 isn't that much money. But, like, clearing everything out of that office and, like, moving to who knows where for $50,000?
I mean, $50,000 is not, like, chump change, Brandon.
It's not chump change, but is he just going to keep moving around? And he's like, now I've got $20,000. And he's just going to move again?
I mean, that's what happens in other Tales from the Crypt episodes, right?
I guess.
Look, Treat Williams would have done the same thing, okay?
Well, if Treat will do it, then it's fine.
So now we got Leo. He's back at the church. He's walking in like he owns the place. And he looks over at the confessional booth and he pulls out that knife that was stuck in, you know, the table. And he opens that shit up, but there's nothing there. So he closes it. He walks over to the other booth, opens that up, and he walks on inside. In there, he puts the knife away and just chills for a minute, I guess, when a voice on the other side of the booth asks if the father is in. Leo puts on a little neckerchief thing for some reason. I don't know why. He puts this neckerchief thing on, and he slides open the little window thing, and it's goddamn Bridget on the other side, Brandon. Like, wow. How convenient.
Well, she's always there, and he's always there, so it's not really a big coincidence.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, all he does is just spy on his wife, so he knew that she would be there. She's saying that she sinned, and her last confession was a whole week ago. So Leo asks her, "Spill the tea, girl." And Bridget looks up a little confused for a moment because she's like, why would they ask that? That's weird. But she goes on anyway because she just really wants to confess here. She talks about how she's been a terrible wife, a liar who's caused me husbands too much suffering. Leo nods, asking what she lied about. So she says that her reasons for not performing the duties of a wife more often. Leo asks, what's she talking about? And Bridget says, well, I wanted to tell him so many times, but I was just afraid he wouldn't understand. You see, my mother died giving birth, and I'm just so afraid that that's going to happen to me if I ever got pregnant. Leo's all, wait a minute. Is that it? Bridget tells him, yeah, I mean, that's it. Now, can you grab me that absolution shit or what? Come on now. I gave a little confession.
That's the deal.
Leo breaks character here because, like, while he's talking as the priest, he's, like, whispery because, like, he doesn't want Bridget to recognize his voice instantaneously. But He breaks character here saying, oh, my God, you didn't do it. And Bridget's all, huh? Is that you, Leo? Are you invading my privacy? And Leo tells her, sure am. Now get out of here. And the two embrace outside the confessional as Bridget asks what
he was doing. Yeah, she's kind of fine with it.
Yeah, she is. She's like, oh, it's my hubby. I love him. And it's like, no, he, what? He's a fucking, what are you doing?
He was there to spy on you and then also murder a priest.
So she's asking here, is like, what are you doing here? And he's like, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. It's fine. And he smooches her and tells her all is forgiven. But a voice tells Leo to let her go, calling Leo the father. And we see this dude with a gun is watching them. It's, how do you say this guy's name? Miguel Ferrer? Ferrer?
Yes.
Ferrer Rocher?
Miguel Ferrer. Bad guy from Blank Check.
Yeah, it's Miguel Ferrer. Leo laughs a little, saying, this isn't what it looks like. He ain't no priest, and I'm the guy who hired him. Leo's like, we don't need you anymore. Everything's cool. But the hitman ain't listening, though, and he shoots Leo in the dick. Then walks up and tells him, in your ear, father, and then shoots him in the ear.
Oh, my goodness. So ironic.
I know. Bridget screams, and the hitman looks up at her and then walks away. He's like, and I'm out.
I mean, that's what he was paid $50,000 for. Now he's done.
Bridget runs over to Leo, calling out for him and crying a whole bunch since he's fucking dead now. And we hear footsteps and up walks Father John Sajak, who's just like there, I guess. And he starts praying over Leo instead of freaking out and calling the cops because somebody was just murdered in plain daylight in his church. But whatever. That's kind of the end of the episode, Brandon.
Yeah, that's it. Guy was like, killed a father, and then came in and got killed.
Did you see it coming, Brandon? Did you see that ending coming?
I didn't see that specifically coming, but, you know, I figured he'd get fucked over by his own plans and paranoia.
Yeah, sure did. Back with the Creep Keeper, we see he's still on the air, and he says, talk about a pain in the apps. I don't know what that means. That's love for you. Eerie today, gaunt tomorrow. As for me, kiddies, my shift's up. It's the top of the hour, time for your favorite morning man. And he sticks his finger into the exposed wiring of his microphone and gets shocked for some reason. And now the Crypt Keeper is suddenly in a tie-dye shirt and sunglasses and this outrageous wig. And
he's Howard Stern now.
Yeah, is he supposed to be Howard Stern? Okay.
I think so.
He asks, what's the matter? You never seen a shock jock before? And then he laughs us out of the episode. And that was as ye so, Brandon. I feel like this episode is fine. It's okay. It's not the worst.
Yeah.
Is it the worst?
It's not the worst.
Okay.
It's just fine. It could have used more Adam West.
Sure could have. Yeah.
I almost didn't recognize Sam Waterston because his hair's not gray in this episode. It's dyed black and it looks totally weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I could tell though his eyebrows kind of gave him away a bit. But
yeah.
Like I said, the acting in this one's great. I mean, Leo Burns, Hector Elizondo is great and everybody did good. It's just like the source material for it is just kind of like I've seen this before and it's like I mean, the ending is kind of what you expect a little bit. I mean, I don't know. I don't have much to say about it. It's just kind of there.
Yeah. It's there.
Did you learn anything from this one? Like, what's the moral of this story, Brandon? It's literally a morally fucking story. You just trust your wife kind of thing or your spouse, significant other. Don't spend $30,000 on very shitty VHS home videos of your wife. I don't know.
Unless you have $30,000 and you, like, don't know what to spend it on. If you have so much money that you just like, man, what do I use this money for? Then, yeah. Some old VHS footage of a woman going to church. Why not?
Why didn't Leo just, like, take interest in what she does and go with her to church? Like, doesn't do anything. He doesn't do anything, though.
You don't spend time with your wife. Unless it's time to bang, am I right?
Oh my. You're right.
that's this character's whole worldview.
So dumb.
I learned that you should take time and perfect playing the organ because just a jaw dropper.
Yeah, he was fucking that organ solo was so good. I learned, Brandon, you got to get in the dry cleaning business. If you want a life where you can just do nothing all day and just like sit and mope in your own depression, get into the dry cleaning biz, dude.
That sounds great.
If you're so bored with life that all you do is sit there and like just focus in on one aspect of it until it drives you crazy, get into the dry cleaner biz, Brandon. There's the money. That's where the money's at. You can do whatever you want. As you so. Think we can come up with a better name than that, Brandon?
No, but let's try.
Okay. I just think it should be called like maybe like the confessional, because there's a lot of time we spend in the confessional, Brandon.
We do, yeah. Easy access clothes.
I'd be like, oh, Brandon,
the tragedy,
easy access clothes.
The tragedy of Mr. Burns.
Yeah, that's a good one. Gosh. Let's meet these characters, Brandon. We got a plethora of peeps here. Let's start out with Leo, Brandon, played by Hector Elizondo. And he's very recognizable to me, but I can't remember from what.
I mean, he's obviously most famous for being in The Princess Diaries. Like, let's be real.
Oh, you know what? I do kind of, now that you're saying that, I do kind of recognize him from that. And I've never actually watched that movie before.
He's just that famous for it.
Yeah, you're right. Well, he's been in a lot of things. Started back in 1963 with The Fat Black Pussycat, Brandon.
Oh.
Yeah. He's been in some stuff. Columbo, 1975, Brandon, yeah.
Columbo. I've heard of that.
Have you heard of The Flamingo Kid from 1984? Because I haven't.
Now that I haven't heard of.
Mm-hmm. Down and Out in Beverly Hills, 1987. The Equalizer from 1989. He was in one episode of that.
Okay.
He was in The Animaniacs and The Addams Family, but the cartoon. He played 8 episodes of a voice in that. He was also in Captain Planet and The Planeteer. So I don't know. Tales from the Crypt is like, hey, you can be in the episode, but have you been in Captain Planet? Because we're going to need that.
A lot of voice acting, which I'm surprised by.
Yeah, because I don't recognize his voice. I recognize him as his face, you know? You're right. He was in Princess Diaries and the sequel.
Of course I'm right. Okay. You think I don't know Princess Diaries?
He was in one episode of Dora the Explorer from 2010. I didn't know that show went on that long. Grey's Anatomy, 5 episodes of that show.
What's he been in lately?
Most recently, he was in Mr. Monk's Last Case, a monk movie from 2023.
They're still making monk stuff?
When they made a movie last year. He was in Star Wars The Bad Batch, Max and Me, Green Eggs and Ham, Brandon, a classic. He was also in 194 episodes of Last Man Standing.
Jesus Christ.
That's that sitcom with Tim Allen, isn't it? Sure is.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that was Hector Elizondo, Brandon. Next, let's talk about his wife, Patsy Kensit, who played Bridget. And she was also in kind of a lot of stuff, which is weird because I think nobody recognized her by name. She started off 1972 with For the Love of Ada. And I can only assume that's Ada Wong from Resident Evil 2.
Definitely.
She was in a lot of stuff. Okay, here's why, because I don't recognize any of these things. Luna, Diana, Jack and Nori Playhouse. What is this stuff from the 80s? Okay. She must have been in like a music video stuff. Eighth Wonder. I guess she was like, you know, an artist.
No. No, never mind.
She was the Eighth Wonder, Brandon, of the world, okay? You didn't even know.
I mean, she's an attractive woman, sure. I could see that.
What else here, Brandon? More recently, if we're going into the 2000s here, The Children's Party at the Palace. Okay, this is boring. 2021's The Pebble and the Boy. I only remember The Pebble and the Penguin, so I don't know what that is. 2023, her last role right now, Death in Paradise. She was in an episode of that, I guess. So I don't know. She was in stuff.
She's been in a lot of things I've never heard of.
Yeah, so that's her. I mean, she did great. I like her. Next, we have John Shay, who played Father John Sajak. So they were like, John, yep, you're good. You can do the part. This guy, first thing he was in, 1977's 8 is enough. I agree. That's a lot. Well, I guess it depends on what you're talking about.
Yeah. $8? Not very much. Eight
babies?
Taco Bell burritos?
That's a lot of babies.
That's too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was in an episode of Alfred Hitchcock Presents, so maybe someday we'll see him again. He was in Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. 25 episodes from 93 to 97.
That's cool. I remember that show.
I don't. Six episodes of Gossip Girl. Do you love Gossip Girl, Brandon? I feel like you'd like Gossip Girl.
I've seen Gossip Girl.
He was in two episodes of The Good Wife, which is a show that my wife watched before, so she probably knows more about him than I do. Most recently, he was in Cape Carl in 2022. Cool. All right, next. We have Gigi DeVoe, Brandon. Sam Waterston.
Yeah, was this guy ever in anything else?
Not really. He started off 1965 with Dr. Kildare. And what do you recognize this guy from?
I mean, I've never seen it, but this is the Law and Order guy, right?
Yeah, he's in 405 episodes of Law and Order from 1994 to 2024.
That's disgusting.
That's a lot. That's a lot of Law and Order.
He was also, don't forget, in four episodes of Law and Order Special Victims Unit. So,
oh, whoops, my bad.
So he's probably most known for that instead.
Yeah, he's a lot of Law and Order. He was in two episodes of Family Guy, I guess, but like Law and Order is where it's at. Yeah. He was in one episode of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, he was in one of my favorite sketches of all time, like Old Glory Insurance or whatever, where robots come and eat old people's medicine.
Ooh, okay, I gotta watch that after we're done recording.
Yeah, there's two people who know what I'm talking about.
Nope, that's fair. Miguel Ferrer was in this episode too, the late Miguel. We did talk about him before because he was one of the main characters in an episode of Tales from the Crypt already, but he is best known, obviously, as Bad Guy from Blank Check.
Yeah, say no more.
Yep, I don't need to. Next, we got Adam West, who we've also talked about before because he was in that one awful episode of Goosebumps.
Excuse me.
Oh, what?
No, that episode was not good.
No, it was awful. Adam West also passed away in 2017, so I gotta say, rest in peace to my boys. I don't really need to talk about him, though. I mean, it's Adam West. You know him. He was Batman. He was, like, lunatic in Goosebumps. They had to speed up his scenes.
Adam West was in Drop Dead Gorgeous?
I've never seen Drop Dead Gorgeous.
That's one of my favorite movies. I don't remember him in that.
Well, I guess I know what we're gonna be watching when we cover 1999 on Plot Points.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, that's our cast, Brandon. Do you want to see what we got going on next week?
Sure.
Okay.
Hopefully it's a little bit better.
Ow. I don't know how to fucking say this one, okay, Brandon? Season 5, Episode 3, Forever Ambergris. Ambergris? I don't fucking know what this is called.
Ambergris.
Sure. Look, at least the Crypt Keeper is going to be like, oh, I call this putrid drama this. And I'll be like, oh, that's how you say it. Okay. Werewolf Concerto all over again. This one reads, a jaded has-been photographer plots the demise of his younger, talented protege when they go on assignment in Central America.
I guess that could be interesting.
Okay. I mean, it's got Steve Buscemi in it, so it's got to be good, right?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Roger Daltrey? Is that somebody I should know?
That's somebody.
How about Paul Dooley?
I don't know. I don't know Paul Dooley.
Okay. Well, that doesn't matter. We got Steve Buscemi, okay? He's going to Steve Buscemi all over the place in this episode.
Well, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, me too. I love Steve. He's great. But that's next week, so damn. We got to wait a whole week to see Steve Buscemi in action. Brandon, I've been up all night, man. I think I'm out of here. I've had enough of As Ye So. I've had enough.
Yeah, I've had enough of ye.
Oh, my. Get out of here. I'm fuck off. All right, I'll talk to you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
In his ear.